And now for something completely different.
Smoke medical weed every day.
The following thoughts on Hoffy Hour represent Brian Hoffy and Facet. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoppy Hour.
He's the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoppy Hour.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour starts in 4, 3, 2, Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour with Hoppy.
What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and let's get right into it. From 98 Rock in Baltimore and the Kirk and Marianne show every afternoon, Kirk McEwen is on the show. What's up, bro?
Dude, I'll give myself away. Yeah, I'll give it up for myself.
Hell yeah, bro.
Thanks for having me on.
Dude, I can't believe it. It's been 8 years since I last had you on the show. It's crazy.
You were definitely a pioneer, man. You were like Wild Wild West when it came to podcasts. You got in quick, figured it out, and kept it rolling. Yeah. I don't know if you're monetizing it, but I give you a lot of credit for getting out early. And thanks for having me back on, man. It's a blast to be back on with you. And, you know, it's been a long day, but I always got time for you.
Yeah, I am telling you right now, it's been a long day too. I messaged you at 2:45 in the afternoon. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of work in time and whatever. And I don't know if you guys have this in Maryland. It's called Cava. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's real big in Florida. And I drink it after work. It's called Cava. It's like this plant that you drink. It might not be in Maryland, but it's very popular in Florida. And there's over like 200 Cava bars in the Tampa Bay area. And
wow.
I drink it after work and it helps me relax. It's like an alternative to alcohol. I do drink booze in that, but after work I drink Cava and I was all relaxed. And I'm like, I should just do the interview with Kirk tonight. So it's a lot of fun having you on, bro.
I usually drink Cava, but I'm going to look into the Cava now that you hit me to it.
Yeah,
and I'm sure I can get it up here somehow.
It's Cava and Kratom. It'd be definitely a good vibe for Baltimore, man. Baltimore would definitely, I think they would turn up on it. And I wanted to give a shout out real quick to 25 Cent, who used to work with Bubba the Love Sponge. He messaged me. He's one of my friends, and he's going to be on the show tomorrow. And he said that he grew up listening to you and the Big Fab Morning Show as he was a teenager.
25 Cent. You got to love that. There's going to be a 10 Cent soon. But hey, tell him I appreciate the ears. And, you know, whoever you call, they come on, don't they, Hoppy? Anybody say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pass. Nobody.
I'm trying to think of if there's been anybody. There's been people that don't get back to me. You know who is impossible to get a hold of is comedians. Comedians are wishy-washy. They're the weird ones.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good to get, though. If you can land them, they're always funny.
The biggest moment I ever had was when I had Anthony Cumia on the show, and he said he would never work with Opie again. And I was like the first show to get Anthony on, and then everybody's interviewed him since. But we made All Access, and that was kind of cool. And then Anthony just went off the rails on Twitter, man. I'm like, wow, bro, relax.
Well, that was, you know, we used to go up to Boston every year for Summerfest, and Sam Adams Brewery would have us. And then they ruined it by having sex in the daggone church, man. And it never came back. I thought it might skip a year or something, but it gone forever. And that was fun, man. They'd bring out a bunch of beer early in the morning. Jim Cook, taste my beer. He was so just a, you talk about pioneers. That guy got the whole craft brewing thing going in the Sam Adams. What was it? What, maybe Sierra Nevada before that, but there wasn't a bunch.
Yeah, man, I sometimes have jealousy of like your era of radio, of what you guys have been able to experience back in the day. Like I was doing some deep diving on YouTube and somebody uploaded a KML CD and I was listening to it. And man, some of the things you guys were doing back then, you could not do now, which I find unfortunate because of free speech. You guys were funny as hell, man.
Well, all it takes, Hoppy, you know it, is a couple of people to hear something that they don't like and get upset. Man, we were doing Dr. Dirty, goo, 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 running out her back door and stuff like that. He came in to play. You could never do that. And Five Finger Poker, my buddy Jerry Coleman, who did sports, had a glove on, and a stripper came up and, you know, started off with his thumb and then his pointing, you know, index finger, and then three, go, go, go. It was right after Janet Jackson. And my boss before that, Ed Kiernan, GM, what a great guy. He said, look, you do your thing. Just don't go across that double line. And after that, he's like, you guys jerked the wheel and drove into the woods. So my buddy Jerry got suspended. I figured it should have been me since it was my idea, but he took the heat and went down. But we don't do stuff like that anymore. What was the guy's name? Dennis Hoff from the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Yes. He'd bring Summer, whatever her name was. She'd ride around on the console, and we'd put newspaper over the window. It was a different time, man. And I'm okay. It was fun being there, but I'm okay that we're not doing that now.
I actually think a lot of times when people in radio like yourself kind of clean up your act, I think that shows that you're a good talent, because there's a ton of the radio guys from that era that just keep on doing it and they're in their late 50s. But it's weird hearing older guys talk about girls and porn at that age. It just sounds weird now.
Well, I've always had a youthful, fun feel, but there's places I don't go as much as I used to. I know my boundaries. I don't want to be that guy on the dance floor. Hey, what's your name? I'm Kirk. You know, dancing around trying to fit in with the alphas and the millennials and everybody. But hey, man, I think there's a lot of universal. The things that kids are going through, I went through, and you can't get anything past me. Even though there's different avenues, I did it, and it's just fun, man. It keeps me alive. All these crazy stories about the woman with two uteruses and, you know, I mean, we talk about all kinds of stuff on the air, and I learned so much from my show. It's more informative. Back in the day, when I was 2 to 7, it was a lot more music-driven, and now 2 to 7 is a morning show in the afternoon, at least at 98 Rock it is.
What has Marianne brought to your show the past year she's been on with you?
Well, she was our first pick. We interviewed a bunch of people from LA and people from the building and in the Mid-Atlantic. And she was on with Brother Weeze, Radio Hall of Famer. He's working from Florida. How cool is that to be in Florida, to be able to pipe back into cold ass upstate New York? But she worked with Weeze. And then I think, after she became available, she wasn't sure if she even wanted to do radio, wasn't sure of me, hadn't met me, never lived in Baltimore. So we talked to her on the phone a couple times, and then she came down and she auditioned on the air. It went well, and the first couple days didn't go well, but we did a week, and then she kind of figured me out, what we were looking for, and she jumped on board in what, 17, I guess it was. So what she does is she brings a more female approach that women enjoy listening to her talk about some of the things that she talks about. Being a comedian, also, she's like, you know, she's growing flowers, going on hikes, working out, going into the sauna, and somebody comes in and they're talking on their phone. Like, where I work out there, Planet Fitness doesn't have a sauna. So, but, you know, she's brought a side that I can't bring, and that's that female warmth that, and she treats me like she's known me forever, and it's not like she acquiesces to me or anything. We're a team, and I let her in and gave her full responsibility and ownership of the show with me. You know, it's not like Kirk, you know, with Marianne. It's Kirk and Marianne. And so, yeah, she's very organized, and she really brings the female side, and that gives us a chance to talk about some things and get some female callers and texts.
How has Baltimore embraced her over the past 7 years?
I'm not going to lie. It wasn't easy right at first. Baltimore is very local, and they like you if they like you, and they had to warm up. I mean, there's been people, shoot, who was it? Lou Brutus, great guy.
Yeah.
does one of the shows on our Sunday night lineup that I can't think of right now. But he came to town, and he was the morning man at WHFS, and he had he wasn't from here, and he had something called the Fa King that he did when he was up with DeBella, another radio Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And when he got to Baltimore, he because he wasn't from here, and we stole his Fa King thing, so when he got here and tried to do it, it was like, hey, that's Kirk Mark and Lopez's. He wasn't here very long. Got run out. Same with, and I'm not going to, you know, Bird in Chicago. Bird, not from Baltimore. They don't like you sometimes. But Marianne fought her way into the fold, I think. And she goes out to places, and she was his guest bartending for Special Olympics at Sylvester's in Essex. She didn't have to do that on a Saturday night. She'd be home with her family. But it's not like she's doing her four and out the door. She's also trying to assimilate, get into the town. We just did comedy at this Polar Bear Comedy Special. The Maryland Special Olympics is huge for 98 Rock, WBAL TV, and WBAL Radio 1090. We raise a ton of money every year, and our comedy show is one of them. And she killed. We didn't tape it. I taped my segment. I did okay. But yeah, we raised $10,000 that night. But yeah, there's a lot of things that people can say yes or no to. And she says yes. And Baltimore buys into it. Well, if you look like you're trying, they like you.
Okay. I've never been to Baltimore. And, first of all, The Wire is probably my favorite show of all time. And I just love that show. I think I need to watch it a second time. Like
you need to come. You would, dude, you come up here. I'll give you a nice little tour. We'll go to a couple of crab places. People that move to Baltimore love it. You don't go to the wrong spot. You're not going to get shot. You'd be good.
I know. That's what I'm saying is explain to my audience the good parts about Baltimore, because it's very easy to talk crap about Baltimore, you know?
It really is. And I told via my text at Kirk McEwen before Taylor and Chiefs Kingdom got into town, Hoppy, I texted out and I was like, all right, Ravens flock, let's be nice to Chiefs Kingdom because it's so easy for national press to put us on blast. And then you got the one girl, like, you're ruining football. It's like, shut up. And then somebody tried to fight Boomer Esiason station saying it's all rigged. It's like, come on, man. We're better than that. But here's what's up. I mean, you've got horse country out here. Preakness is in Baltimore, and little towns, Green Spring Valley and Baldwin, some of the biggest money in Baltimore County, Montgomery County, Maryland, which is not far from Baltimore. It's one of the richest counties in the country. And if you can go to the Inner Harbor, which they're renovating, they're doing Harbor Place over. Oriole Park is the ballpark that changed baseball. Ravens M&T Bank Stadium is loud as hell and really fun, and there's just so much to do. So everybody that moves here, the anchors from other cities, they set up shop and live here the rest of their lives a lot of times. And the proximity with Washington, D.C., and it's not far to Philly and New York. Plus, you can drive out and go skiing in Western Maryland. You've got Ocean City, Maryland. It's America in miniature. And the cops know they're gonna defend downtown, bro. They're not going to let you. But you get a little further out, and there's some turf war as well. You know, sorry about that. But this past year was the first year they had less than 300 homicides. Yay us. But yeah, you don't go to the wrong spot. It's a great place to be, just like any city. They got their spots, Hobby.
Well, I'm from Illinois, so obviously with my accent, you know that I'm from Chicago. And
I love Chicago. I love the little, you know, my brother worked at the Loop for years out there with Buzz. Oh yeah, Sky Daniels and Jonathan Brandmeier and
Dahl.
Dahl, I think, was gone before my brother got there, but my brother was there with a guy named RJ Scott, I think his name was, who came up with the term nuts to butts. My brother said that years ago, and I was like, that's so cool. Now I've heard other people say it. Well, you know what that means, right?
No, explain. I think I've heard it though.
Yeah, nuts to butts is if you're in a concert or something and it's so packed, you're right up against the guy in front of you in a stand-up. Said, man, it was nuts to butts in there. I thought it was crazy fun. Man, they had a phone bank down the hall up in the Hancock Center. I got to run around that joint when I was 12 years old. That's how I knew I was going to be on radio. I mean, my brother, do you know his story?
I was just about to ask you. I didn't know you had a brother in radio.
Yeah, my brother's Mark McEwen. He started out at WKTK in Baltimore. From there, he went to W4 in Detroit, where Howard Stern worked.
Oh, wow.
Detroit's W4. I think Dahl may have worked there, too.
Yes.
And then from W4, he went to The Loop. And from The Loop, he went to WAPP in New York. And they did a commercial-free summer to get things going. It was the Crummy McEwen Show, which sounded like, hey, Mark McEwen's got a shitty show. But it was E.J. Crummy and Mark McEwen. And then he got fired from APP, went to NEW, worked with Scott Muni. Hey, fatso. My brother's like, Jesus Christ, this guy's talking. But he called everybody fats. Hey, fats. Scott Muni, Dave Herman, you know, Richard Neer. So my brother and Richard Neer did mornings with Lisa Glassberg for a while. Then my brother got fired from NEW in New York and got hired by CBS Television and did the weather on CBS for 16 years. Then he went to Orlando to anchor. But my brother was pop music editor. He's beloved in the country music world. Garth Brooks gave him a ring, gave one to Nancy O'Dell, my brother. Those were like two of the three media people and a couple of other people to commemorate 100 million album sales. He wears it all the time. Got a big old G on it on his finger. Tony Bennett painted a picture of my brother. Looks just like him. Look him up, Mark McEwen.
I did not know that, bro.
Yeah, my brother hosted A&E Live by request. And I got to go see David Bowie and got to meet him. I got his Heathen album on my wall signed by him after David got his teeth done and they were perfect. He smiled all the time, but I had blonde hair at the time and they moved me up towards the front row. You can find that on YouTube too. I've watched it a time or two, but yeah, my brother was the reason, dude. I was 12 years old watching him. I was taping his shows on WNAV at the in Annapolis when he did a little sports cast, and he's still rolling, man. He's in his 60s in Orlando and doing speeches for stroke survivors. He almost died in 2005, but he wasn't ready yet.
It's fascinating. I feel like people get the radio bug if it's introduced to them at a young age. So for me, I didn't have TV during 9/11 because I grew up in a very religious household. So I got all my info through the newspaper and radio. And the first time I saw what 9/11 looked like was when YouTube first came out. And I was at the library crying. And my friends were like, why are you crying? And I'm like, because I just saw 9/11. Like, that's how fascinating it was, man. That's how I got my radio bug. You got yours from your brother. My mom listened to news radio. And then my dad was really into like the 1940s radio, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but like the old time radio. And I feel like,
sure,
I feel like when you're introduced to it at a young age, it's more impactful on someone's life rather than a person that gets into it later on, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And Hoppy, the big problem in this medium now is finding that next wave, that next generation. They can't find the kids coming up that are going to be, because there's no overnight shifts anymore. I mean, everybody's voice tracking.
I know.
So there's a guy in Cleveland doing 15 stations. So where's the opportunity? But, and so for that reason, program directors can't find that young talent that's real good. It's almost dried up. And we were looking for a part-timer, and God bless him, but Mark Ondako, my old partner at Kirk Mark and Lopez, who was at the Freeform WRNR in Annapolis, that went, they sold it, and so everybody had to find a job. Well, we were looking for part-timers, and there was no younger crew coming up. My old morning show partner is back doing part-time at the station. That just shows you where there is no feeder system anymore, and he's a great guy, and I love him, and he's a good jock. I'm just saying that there's nobody that's 22 or 23 that are making any inroads. I can't see it.
Well, and what's funny is I'll go to the morning show boot camp. I've been to like six of them, but I haven't been to one in like 5 years. And I'll have these DJs, some of the really big names, go, you got to go to a smaller market and then you got to do this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's not 1995 anymore. There's no opportunities because the small market is being syndicated by like Elvis Duran or whatever, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's good for Elvis. But it's like, I think that's why I work so hard and do so well with this podcast is I treat it like a radio show, even though it's not on the radio, because I have a radio job where I'm a full-time producer here in Tampa for this company. It's kind of like my side job. It's not really edgy radio, so I keep it separate. So I do have a job in radio, and then I'm able to do this. But I have so many friends, man, who talk to me. And I have people that I've done my podcast with 7, 8 years ago, and they'll reach out to me and be like, yo, I want to come back on your show or whatever. And I'm like, why did you quit? Like, you're going to make it at some point if you don't give up. Like, I have a friend who has the most regret that he quit radio and went to go work at the Apple shop or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's, right. Yeah.
Radio's weird because you're not guaranteed anything, but if you don't give up, something's going to happen at some point.
It's so true. And if you love it and you're innovative and you put the time into it to come up with your own style and your brand, you're right. Somebody's going to notice it and be like, yeah, this guy is who we're looking for, or this girl's who we're looking for. And they're out there. It just seems like where there were hundreds, now there's tens, you know, and radio's not going anywhere. I don't know if you saw, but Ford, or they were trying to get rid of AM radio in the car, and then somebody was going to put a disclaimer on new cars being sold saying, this car's being sold without an AM radio. You're not going to be aware of emergencies, which I think is a great thing to put on cars, because AM radio lets you know when there is a blizzard coming. Sirius XM, if you're not on the right channel, you're listening to Tom Petty radio. I got a Tom Petty tribute band. But yeah, if you're listening to the wrong thing, you're not going to know. AM radio needs to be in cars. I can't believe they're even thinking about that. But radio's not going anywhere. There'll always be a feeder system. It just seems like it's fewer and farther between.
Well, especially here in Tampa, whenever it's any type of hurricane, the local coverage on FLA or 102.5 The Bone or whatever the talk radio is here, their ratings skyrocket because everybody's listening at home. So on one hand, you have people that say radio is dead, but then when really bad things happen or maybe going to happen, a lot of people turn to radio.
Hey man, I love it. It's all I know how to do. I guess I could figure out something if I had to, but I started full time in 1984 at 98 Rock. You know, I left for DC 101. I came back to 98 Rock, and then I jumped in the blender and went to HFS. I went to 98.7 The Fan in Tampa. I went to 105.7 The Edge in DC, and then I got a chance to come back to 98 Rock. So it's my third tour of duty. I didn't blow my bridge up the first two times like some people do. You know what? F you. Don't. No. You listen to me. You know, there was none of that. It was all done professionally and businesslike, and there was no hard feelings. I love that station. I used to tell people, it's like my last name is Aren't You Kirk from 98 Rock, because that's what I heard all the time when I wasn't there. And I bleed that station, man.
As a radio nerd, I like to listen to a lot of the old shows, and I want to ask you, because the person I'm about to ask you about was pretty much in that area. In radio, what did, during your time, because you were on air when he was on air, what did you think of the Grease Man?
Well, I worked with him at DC 101, and they did a big event at Hammer Jack's bar in Baltimore. And it's one's wild in the morning, one's crazy at night. Grease Man, 6 to 10, and Kirk, 7 to midnight. So I worked at DC 101 for 3 years. The first two, Nino Griezmann, and what a lot of, hallelujah, blessed release. He was so awesome. One of the quickest minds ever. Nino Griezmannelli, Doug Tracht, he stepped in it a time or two, you know, saying, you know, shoot four more and get a week off. He had to walk. It was bad. And I know Griezmann, he's not a racist. He was trying to be funny, and it bit him, but it was incredible. That showed me, you know, I worked with some really good dudes, man. Bob Rivers, Radio Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Nino should be in the Hall of Fame too. He really should. God, that guy was dying. He's not, is he? I don't think he is.
No.
Griezmann. But he was the fastest wit I've ever worked with.
Griezmann's actually on Cameo, I believe.
He's hauling ass and burning gas on the Chesapeake. He's got a boat over here, and he goes up and down the bay. Also, one of the quicker dudes I worked with, probably right behind him, if not neck and neck, Mike O'Mara from Don and Mike.
Yes.
I mean, that guy, really smart, funny, quick. Those are two of the legends that I got a chance to work with in the same building, and with Mike work on the same show.
Yeah, so I was a big fan of Free FM when I was in middle school, like, because I heard about it in the newspaper, so I would listen to all the shows. So I actually heard your show when it was on Free FM. Like, I would go to the library and listen to Free FM. I was like one of the Sean Ross on Twitter described it best. He goes, for every song that sucks, there's that one person that was a fan of it, and that's me and Free FM. He tweeted it much more wordy, but he was pretty much saying I was the one fan of Free FM. And I used to go to the library in like 05, 06, 07, and I would listen to Don and Mike. And that was some of the most electric radio. Their jingles, their hyper attitude, Don's quick wit, Mike's one-liners, dude. Don and Mike, dude, one of the best shows ever.
Yeah, yeah, the radio gods had it going. And Mike turned his attention to podcasting. He's got the Mike O'Mara Entertainment Network or something like that. We don't keep in touch as much as we should. And then Don, I saw last summer at a party, a radio guy threw a party, and God, there were so many just legendary jocks for me that were there. Don Geronimo, who I'd never met before, guy from PGC that used to work with Shannon, Scott Shannon. I forget. Anyway,
Elliot.
Yeah, it was Jim Elliot. God damn, you're good, man. Elliot Woodside was the show. But yeah, I got a chance to go out to Pirate Radio and apply and work with Scott Shannon out there and watch him work. He'd have everybody come into the studio and sing "Everybody's Working for the Weekend" on Friday morning, and he did some top 40 thing and be like, he had a producer there and he's like, number 38 coming in at 38. Here's number 38. It's Loverboy. And he'd mess up, and the producer would have to, it was reel to reel, and he'd have to put all these little cuts down and make it sound like a show at the end. I was like, wow, this is crazy. That's when I was going from 98 Rock to either Pirate Radio, and I decided to go to DC 101.
What's your favorite memory of DC 101?
Well, I mean, there were several. I remember playing Nirvana. Dusty Scott, our music director, said, you're going to play this Smells Like Teen Spirit tonight at 9 o'clock on Love It or Shove It. People are going to lose their minds. Same thing with Kingdom Come. I played Kingdom Come. People lost their minds. Sounded just like Led Zeppelin, Get It On, back in the day. And now nobody cares, and you got, you know, other bands that sound like Zeppelin a little bit. But yeah, playing Nirvana for the first time, talking to Dave Grohl and Lars Ulrich when the Black Album came out, meeting David Lee Roth at the radio station one morning. I said, hey, I came in to meet you. I'm the 7 to Midnight guy. He said, you're on the other side of the envelope or something like that. It's one of my most prized possessions. If my house caught fire, I grabbed the picture of me and David Lee. I look like his keyboard player. I got on a bandana and sunglasses. Like he and I both have sunglasses on. We look like we're in a band together. I love that picture. But yeah, I had some great times at DC 101, man. I got to go down to Georgetown every night after I got off the air and see all that crazy nightlife. You know, DC's, you put DC and Baltimore together, it's the fourth largest city in America.
How far is Baltimore from DC?
30 miles.
That's not far at all.
That's why young Dave Brown, the program director at DC 101, was watching me kick his ass from 98 Rock 7 to midnight every night. And then this is when they had those little, you'd put a post-it note in one of those twirly things, and I didn't look at mine. I never got any messages. And then I look in there one day, and it's a message from Dave Brown from DC 101. Can you imagine? He called the radio station and left his number. So a week later or so, I call him, and that made it look like I wasn't really concerned. But I didn't know. I was like, geez. Then I called him back. He's like, man, I'm glad I'm not somebody important like your broker or something. But, yeah, I was kicking her ass because of the proximity. And then I went to work for DC 101. And after 3 years, Greaseman left. Paul Harris came in the morning. He's aight, but he wasn't Greaseman. And so I left and went back to 98 Rock. And then, like I say, I jumped into the fire after that and went all kinds of places.
You know who I worked with for 7 years that I think you worked with was Mo. A cat named Mo. Do you know him well?
Are you talking about Maurice? That was Greg Owen Mo. You know what Mo did. Mo. Mo banged the secretary of the WBAL TV on the desk downstairs in the office after hours and talked about it on the radio the following day. Greg. I'll tell you this, Greg Owen Mo were there 11 months at 98 Rock, and they were talked about for years because they were bad boy. Greg O, I guess he's back in Houston, beloved in Houston. We got along great, Greg O and I. And Mo, too. Mo was working at the Fan for a minute when I was down there in Tampa. Hey, dude, I'd still be in Tampa if they didn't blow that place up.
Yeah, Tampa radio, man, is very cliquish. A Big Mama who's out in Fort Myers, I got drinks with him like 4 months ago, and he said, it's sort of like the mafia. Once you're in, but once you're out, you're out. And I was like, that is the perfect way to describe Tampa radio.
I had to get one. It was December 4th. Yeah, December 4th, 2014. And I got let go because Beasley took over for CBS, looked around the cluster at the stations that they had, decided that 98.7 The Fan was the worst or the least performing, and chopped us right before Christmas. I love Beasley. Anyway, so I couldn't just hang around in Florida and hope for something. I had to go back home where I knew people. You know, that was one thing about Florida. It's like, I'm sorry, what's your name again? I got that a lot. I don't get that here. That's because I spent a lot of time here. But I wasn't in Florida long enough. And I got a little bit, and I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I got a little bit of a racial edge from some of the advertisers because being a black guy in Florida,
yeah.
I don't know. Florida's a couple of the car dealers.
Florida's borderline racist. There's a lot of racial undertones, and I feel like they don't mean to be racist. But growing up, all my friends were black. Like I lived in this neighborhood in the suburbs where all my friends had enough money to get out of the bad neighborhoods and have like 10 or 11 people living in one house. And those were my friends. We would smoke weed, have underage drinking parties. So I'm sort of urban in a very weird way. Like my favorite show is Power, The Wire. I like rap. Here's my point. My point is that I can often sense racial undertones because my friends taught me it as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of it in Florida, bro. A lot of it.
Being a black guy, I'm 59 next month. I started radio in 1984. Dude, that's, what's that, 40 years? Oh my God. I just put two and two together. But yeah, at first it was like, hey man, no offense, I didn't know you were a black guy. You know how many times I fucking heard that? Oh, a lot. hey, Kirk, I was going to come down to your seat, but there's some short nigger sitting in it. I mean, that's in Baltimore. That was one of my comedy bits. I used to say that. I got in radio before there was social media. I talked to this guy, Terry, for a long time on the phone. Hey, Kirk, it's Terry. Hey, Kirk. Hey, man, I'm going to be at the ball game. Let's meet. All right, I'm sitting in section two, seat three and four. Morning on Monday. Hey, man, I thought you were to come and see me. I was going to come down here. But, and that was the punchline. But that's the truth. And, yeah, you know what? Listen, I'm not going to ask you for your lead pencil or your ink pen unless I'm trying to be funny. I paid attention in school. I'm just like you. You don't treat me any certain way. And if you do, I'm going to tell you about it. So, whatever. Do they cut Jackie Robinson's statue off at his ankles and burned it in a fucking trash can? Jesus Christ. What's wrong with people? You know what I mean? Let's get along. That's ridiculous.
When did that
Do you know
happen?
About that?
I did not know that. Tell me.
Yeah, there's a Jackie. Yeah, look it up. There's a Jackie Robinson statue memorial in Wichita, Kansas. And somebody, two dudes came and cut it off at the ankles. They couldn't find it. $75,000 statue. And then they found it burned in a trash can irreparably. So now they're going to raise money and build another one. Put a chicken wire fence around it so people don't cut it down. They said, well, if this is racially motivated, well, do you think? Do you think it might be racially motivated? God, man, you think we've gotten past all this, but we haven't. And there's a couple reasons I could point to, but I'm not going to. And please don't.
I will.
So anyway, yeah, but that's just disheartening, man. Why do that? You know how many black people go, wow, that's just terrible to do that. But anyway, listen, man, I love people, and I will always look for the bright side. I'm a half glass full. And I'm never going to change. I'm not going to get pessimistic. I'm always optimistic. But it just hurts. It's hurtful, you know?
I know. And it's hurtful because, like, I thought things were getting better. And, like, it seems like the last 5-6 years, maybe it's more social media that's exposing it. But I feel like things really didn't get that much better. It's weird.
And I say it, and it's bad to say, but I think the most we were ever together was right after 9/11, when I was seeing all these U.S. flags on little stickers on the back of windows and stuff. And
yeah,
we did a candlelight vigil in the Indian neighbor's yard right after. And it just seemed like we were more together as Americans than we are now. Now it's so many little factions. And
I thought COVID was going to bring us together. I thought that was going to be the moment, bro, that everything would just bring us together. Not at
well,
all.
Well, you know what's weird is the former president really pushed to fast track the vaccine, and then his supporters, for some reason, don't seem to want to take the vaccine. I don't know.
I don't know what the big deal is with the vaccine. I haven't gotten the other ones, but I got the first one, and it's just going. I think it's like people don't like being told what to do, and it's like a power thing. It's like a small dick energy. I don't like being told what to do in my Hummer truck. It's weird.
Well, you might, and maybe they could put a chip in you. I don't feel like that. I just want to be able to eat and taste things and not get sick and die. That's all. And listen, I wear my seatbelt. He told me to wear my seatbelt, and it sucked at first. I was like, this is uncomfortable. And now I can't get in a fucking car. You can bleep me, man. I'm sorry. I'm getting relaxed.
I don't care. You can say whatever the fuck you want, bro.
I don't ride in the car without my seatbelt on, you know? And the government told me to do it, and I'm okay with that. So, hey listen, man. Everybody's like, I gotta be me. I know as I get older, you do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Just leave me alone. I don't want you in my face about stuff, you know, and I'm not going to be a dick. I'm just going to live my life. And I go to work, and I come home, and I get up and I look for stories, and then I go to work, and then I come home.
Feel that.
That's what I do, and work out in between and talk to my girl and just try and live my life. And I'm not hurting anybody. So I wish everybody else would do that same thing.
What the hell happened?
Cutting off statues at the ankles.
I know. What the hell happened to the Ravens, bro?
hey, I'll tell you what happened. Just like Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys said, they picked a bad day to have a bad day. And you can talk about conspiracies all you want about the NFL once Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. Well, I'll tell you this. You got to not overthrow your receivers. You can't taunt somebody on the field. If Zay Flowers, and I love the kid, he's already good. He's going to be great. But you can turn around and go, can't spin the ball and all that. Although defensive players, you know, wave off, you know, do that where they have their arms going back and forth saying the pass is incomplete. Defensive players do that all the time, not called taunting. But the Ravens peaked a little bit too early. They should have been playing their best football now, and you can't gauge it. You hope for it. The Chiefs played their worst football in the middle of the season where guys weren't catching balls. Travis and Mahomes were throwing helmets. Kadarius Toney.
Yes.
God, he's that guy. How his career continues, I don't know.
He's a bitch.
But now they're playing. Yeah, and Justin Tucker and the Kelce thing did not help that day. Those guys came in there with a no messing around attitude, and Tucker was trying to poke him a little bit,
What did you think of that?
Well, I didn't see it. I do the pregame show out on Ravens Walk, and afterwards, I did not go into the game. I didn't have a ticket, and I had a couple of buddies that were trying to get me in, but usually, bro, I go home and watch the game and relax because I'm out there 3 hours before game time. But when we were doing Ravens game day, it came across, and I was like, oh, this is not good. It's going to fire up the team. And then later, when the Ravens didn't seem to be playing their best, the following day, my back was jacked. So I didn't go on Monday, and they're like, oh, Kirk's got purple pain. No, he doesn't. I would love to have come in and talk about it, but Justin Tucker talked about gamesmanship. Can't believe we're talking about what happened in pregame. And then you hear Patrick Mahomes say, this has happened three times, and all three times have been in Baltimore. And look, Justin Tucker is the greatest of all time. I love him. He's one of my favorite players. But there is a means to get to be the greatest, and maybe you're trying to get in somebody's head. And Travis Kelce said, you want to dick with me, dude? I'll do that every single time and throw your stuff. They were in a zone, man. And I love Tucker. I love the Ravens. They'll be back. It just hurts to get so close and not get it done. And I don't even play. But
I know.
31 teams will be disappointed at the end of the year, and one won't.
Well, I'm a Bears fan, so I'm sort of divorced. I don't even care anymore. I'm so dejected from that team, dude, because I haven't been in Chicago for 10 years anyway. But I'm so over that, man. I am like, ugh.
I don't know how to keep Eberflus. I don't know. Justin Fields had all the talent in the world, and now they got the number one pick, and you're thinking about getting Caleb. I
don't want him.
He's good. I mean, I don't know if he's better than Justin Fields. Maybe I don't.
He might.
They just don't know what they're doing.
Here's the thing: is you could have the best player go to the Bears, and the Bears will ruin him. Like, I think if they would have drafted Patrick Mahomes 7 years ago,
yeah,
Patrick would not be who he is now.
He'd be out of the league.
No way. He wouldn't. There would be no way he would be good. And everybody wanted Mitchell Trubisky. And I was like, really? Patrick Mahomes seemed pretty good in college. Everyone's like, no, we need Mitchell. See how that worked out.
Ugh. Well, I didn't know if Mahomes was going to translate as well as he did. He didn't come right in. He held a clipboard. Then they watched him in practice like, Alex Smith got to go. And Patrick Mahomes, bro, is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and sure. I'm not the only one to say it. Tom Brady's great, doesn't have the mobility and that as much moxie. That wobbly pass he threw to Kelce towards the end of the game is like, yay, no! He's just so good.
A play,
he's got
a play is never over with that guy, ever.
No. And Lamar's not far from that. He's just not there yet. It's these little mistakes that Mahomes doesn't make. It's the other receivers dropping the ball. It's not Mahomes overthrowing guys repeatedly. And dude, Lamar's going to be the MVP this year. So, but you can be the MVP, and that's like winning the battle, but not the war. And Mahomes is winning the war.
What did you think of Flacco?
I knew he was going to come back to earth. He turns into Joe Flacco after a while, and those two pick sixes doomed him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but man, what a great guy, and to keep yourself in that much shape, his arm talent is special. He can spin a football, and he came in and dragged that team to 4 or 5 victories, got them into the playoffs, and I'm wondering what's going to happen next year. We do a show called Purple Power Hour with former tight end Dennis Pitta of the Ravens, yeah. And he's like BFF with Joe Flacco, and Joe's loving this. His kids get to see him. They're older and can respect what he's doing, and he still got it, man. Stick around. You know what it is, Hoppy? It's like you have a window of opportunity. And this girl I used to see was like, Tom Brady should stop. Then he came back and won a Super Bowl. It's like, no. Once you stop, you're done. But if you can keep going and you still got it like that, go until they pull the uniform off you or they say you're not good anymore. So I think Joe Flacco will have another year, if not in Cleveland, somewhere. And he'll keep himself in shape for midseason call.
What's he like in person?
He's chill. He's a nice guy, but he's very to himself, kind of. He's not a big rah-rah guy. You've seen him on the sideline.
Yeah.
You've seen him on the field. He throws a interception or something, and he just kind of, he doesn't get too upset about it.
Yeah.
But he got us a trophy, so God love him.
Where can people find your show and everything you're up to?
Well, we've got a YouTube channel where we put stuff up, 98 Rock in Baltimore, Instagram. I've got, I'm on Facebook, KIRKMCEWEN. I'm on Instagram and X. Dude, I hate social media. It's just so much work to try and.
Yeah,
but you in this day and age, you got to do it, and I go kicking
it. You need it, dude. Especially like people that are like doing podcasts. That's the only way you can get promotion, bro.
Yeah. I clicked on you're like, check out our conversation about blah, blah, blah. And then I clicked it, and I just got a big X for a minute. Then I went back to the Hoppy Hour homepage. But yeah, I'm out there, man. Kirk, dude, I used to have a Wikipedia page, and they took it away a long time ago. It's like, how come I had one and now I don't?
That's weird.
It's like, how come I can't get a blue check? It's like, am I in a pot? I've been the same guy forever.
So funny. Well, dude, can you believe it's been 48 minutes and 40 seconds of us talking?
Dude, you're so easy to talk to, Hoppy. You're so inquisitive and you ask the questions. I mean, I'm like, I better shut up. I just talked for like 2.5 minutes, but yeah, you do a great job, man. I really appreciate you getting back to me. And
of course, bro.
8 years later, wanting to say hey.
Yeah, and I'm glad we did it now, and we didn't wait till Sunday, because I was like driving home, and I had enough time, and I was like, you know what? Let's just do it tonight. This is good. And this was a lot of fun, Kirk.
I'm sure you have people, that say, look, I could have got home and said, no, I'm good. How about Sunday? And then Sunday said, Sunday's not good. And then then it's March. I wasn't playing that game. I like and I respect you. And I'm going to be down at Cape Coral March 1st. I'll hit you up.
Oh, for sure, bro. Let's finally meet, dude. Because I almost went to, or maybe that was Buzz Burbank. I forget. Somebody was in Tampa like 6 years ago, and I regret not going. I forget who
I came down and got Jesse Cage, Buzz Burbank, Special Ed.
Yes.
Yeah, I got all those cats together. And maybe I will this time, too, when I go down to Cape Coral. I'm going to rent a car and drive up. So I'll definitely see you, Hoppy. And again, man, keep doing what you're doing, bro. You're the man.
Thank you, Kirk. Means a lot, bro.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Peace out, Kirk. And that was Kirk McEwen from the Kirk and Marianne Show on 98 Rock in Baltimore. Now, if you are hearing my voice for the first time, my show I normally do. Well, my name's Ryan Hoppy, and this is Hoppy Hour. And my show sounds like a morning show you would hear on like an active rock station, like 98 Rock, or like a throwback hits of the 2000s and 90s. That's my dream, is to have a show like that. And I have a show that I do. I do the interviews like I just did with Kirk for 50 minutes, and then I have my own talk show. So go to every single major platform that has a podcast and search up Hoppy Radio, H-O-P-P-E Radio. And if you're listening in Baltimore, spread the word to everybody about Hoppy Hour. I have immense respect for Baltimore. Yes, I've made jokes about it on my podcast, but I have respect for the media scene. So spread the word. This has been Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, signing off.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour. Marijuana. 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 And like that,